This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Called BA the best friend of the show.
See, you haven't been here for such things. We had decided that because BA will come in here and he'll stay an hour and all of those different things, and the fact that
Siciliano's going to be mad.
He's given a text chain and all that kind of stuff.
Which I'm not included in.
Well, we've offered to put you on this, and every time you're like, no, I'm good. Every time you're like, no, I'm good. The last text chain that we were on, you exited the last text chain we were on. All of a sudden I get this message that just says Jeff Phelps has left the conversation.
Can't blame a guy for being sharp.
It's like, what the what? Why?
Come on, man.
Yeah. Nothing makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside like talking about a football game and then all of a sudden seeing Jeff Phelps has left the conversation. It's just like, ugh.
You know, some of us have things to do in life. And then there's you and Andy. No?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sitting here on a Sunday staring at some website updating your fantasy football stats is better than having a conversation with your friends?
Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding?
All right, fine. Maybe not friends. Is it better than having a conversation with your coworkers?
Yes. Are you kidding? Absolutely. Ryan Day and the Buckeyes passed another test. In the first college football playoff rankings, of course, they're out, as we've talked about. Spencer German breaks it all down on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. You can subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure that you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season. See, Hody calls Brian Anderson the best friend of the show, and he's stiffing us.
Well, we don't know that yet. It is BA. Lord knows what's taking place.
He's stiffing us.
But we'll have the legend Tim May later.
That's great news. What we have is a 9-0 basketball team that puts that on the line, the best start in franchise history, puts it on the line tonight against a 7-1 team that has won 5 straight games, has celebrated championships in the building over here, right across the street from us. And where Kenny Atkinson coached the last several years under the head coach of that team, Steve Kerr. This should be a good one.
Did you also see that each team is wearing the uniforms that they were from 2016? So the Warriors, the Cavs will be in the blacks with the Red Sea. The Warriors will be in their uniforms.
Which, by the way, I love.
Yeah. Especially since they got rid of the sleeve portion of that. That's the best thing that ever happened.
I love the sleeve portion of it.
Why?
Because it represents championship.
All right, I'll give you that one.
See, hard to argue with that one.
Give you that one, yeah.
Hard to argue with that.
That's one of those things where, you know, it was ugly and it was uncomfortable, and you heard everybody in the league complaining about him, but everybody around here loves him for a certain reason.
Absolutely, and they should.
So, here's my biggest test with this.
Okay.
The defense of this team has been good. It was a foundation of defense that was already here with J.B. Bickerstaff.
This year's defense has certainly been solid.
Right?
Yep.
The offense has been there as well, but they have not
gone... Oh, the offense hasn't been there. It's been phenomenal.
Correct. Yeah. But they have not gone up against a team that has an offense that could rival theirs yet.
They are tonight.
And they're going to see it tonight. And that's where I'm fascinated, because typically
the number one and the number three scoring teams in the NBA tonight.
Typically the kryptonite of this team has run into like the smaller guards who are kind of shifty and can get past Darius Garland and kind of give him a little bit of problems and that stuff. I want to see how he does against Steph Curry. I want to see what that looks like. The other thing that has given them issues has been the smaller guys who could stretch the floor, your Jason Tatums and that kind of stuff. Golden State doesn't have those. They've got Kuminga, who's immensely athletic, though coming off the bench now. But I want to see how this defense looks against Steph Curry.
Among others, because it's more than Steph on that Warrior team. Warriors at 7-1, five straight wins, and 5-0 on the road. So, you know, they know how to win on the road. They know how to win, period. It's clearly an important thing, and we understand why. Curtis is in Cleveland. Curtis.
All right, Curtis.
Hey, Jeff, man. Dan got me nervous, man, talking about Steph Curry. I know he's a dangerous man, but I'm hoping that the Cavs pull this off, man.
Absolutely. And I think they will. This is just going to be a fun test, man. That's what I'm pumped for. I want to see them go up against a team who is...
Who is good?
Yeah. And like, that's, I don't mean to trash the New York Knicks or anything like that. Like, I think they will be good, but at least the Warriors have like a pedigree of greatness. You know what I mean? And that's what I want to see.
All the rings, Steph Curry guy. Yeah, you got me a little shaking in my bones. But I really was calling to say, why we can't say Donovan Mitchell's an all star? Like this kid, he's been an all star every year he's been in the league. He's never missed the playoffs. He was named a starter in an All-Star game when he got to Cleveland at his 71-point performance set the Cavaliers record. And he was named one of the top 10 players in the league. Like, why we can't say this dude is a superstar?
Yes.
He won the top 10 players in the league.
I think that's a push. That might be pushing it a little bit.
I mean, he's definitely – he's closer to 10 than he is to 1. I will say that with certainty.
Curtis, thank you.
You could make a solid top 10 argument.
He's a really good player.
I'd listen to it. He's 100% top, definitely top 20. I think I'd say top 15, but I'd have to sit there and write everything out.
What he is a key part of a good team right now. And honestly, I think that's how this team has to succeed. If you give the ball to Donovan and tell him to go be a guy who's going to score 30, I don't think that works, if you want to know the truth. I love what they're doing now offensively. Some numbers behind this, and you know, sometimes numbers get in the way, but other times I think they're very telling. The Cavaliers right now leading the NBA in scoring, mm-hmm. And they're over 123 points a game. They're also, and see that this is the one that, and it's hard to be concerned when you're 9-0. I mean, think about it. You only play 82 games.
Right.
So you're more than a tenth of the way through the season. You already have 9 wins. They're not coming out of the win column. But you're 9-0. They're leading the NBA in field goal percentage at 52.6%. That won't last. However, doesn't mean they can't lead the league in field goal percentage. You're making almost 53% of your shots. That's unlikely. Also, they're second in three-point percentage at 42%, and I don't know that lasts. That one might. Maybe they retain the ranking. I'd be surprised if they do.
Well, the difference between, like, if this was happening last season, right, with J.B. Bickerstaff and the offense that they were running there, and then they were running it in the same idea this season. The difference is that this season, I think there's more legs to it. Now, again, it's probably not going to be that high. I'll agree with you there. But I think there's more legs to them being such a top-scoring team because they're getting open looks. I mean,
they're getting really good looks.
The looks they are getting are unbelievable.
The spacing, the ball movement is leading to great looks. And that's one of the hallmarks of Golden State's team,
right,
you know, during the Steve Kerr era. And Kenny Atkinson was a good offensive coach when he was in Brooklyn. I think he's even better offensive coach now.
I mean, when you see the looks that Dean Wade gets in these games, well, there's just nobody within 8 feet of him. Like, because they're moving and they're cutting and they've been so good. And like,
but you don't want to have to rely on Dean Wade to knock down that shot. Although I think Dean's an underrated player. I like Dean Wade.
We've relied on worse.
Well, now that's true, and you've been bitten for it too.
Yep. Quite often.
So,
but more than it, and then add in on the field goal percentage side of things, think of the amount of alley-oops that they're getting on top of it. Think of the amount of dunks that you're getting from a Jared Allen, those push shots there. The thing that they have done is they are so good with their size of getting relatively close to the basket within 5 feet, within 7 feet in between there, where Jared Allen can finish over both shoulders, where you have Evan Mobley getting those dunks, getting those push shots, getting those hook shots, all of those different things on top of there. Like, they're taking high percentage field goal shots that make me think that, while again, what was it, 53 you said?
Yep.
I don't think it stays that high.
No, I don't either.
Boy, if we walk out with 48, 47,
which I think that's a big challenge too, but you never know.
I could see that being the case because the looks are open and the shots that are contested are close to the rim.
It's interesting. When Kenny Atkinson took over, you know, he'd mentioned a couple of things, and so far through 9 games, he's lived up to everything that he said. Number one was he wanted to play a bigger rotation, which, by the way, I'm all for. You know, you don't have to pound, you know, your superstars 38 minutes a game. You don't have to do it. And I think that's critical. Nobody's even playing 31 minutes a game. And I think that's really good. You also have 10 players playing at least 15 minutes a game.
That's the big thing.
That exactly. You're not hammering your top guys, but you're giving the other guys a chance to contribute. And though it's helping now, imagine what that could be like, you know, come after the All-Star break.
Right.
Where all of a sudden you got some guys whose legs aren't shot. I think that's really good. And the other thing here, when a guy can average in double digits scoring-wise, that's really good. There are 5 Cavs scoring 12 or more points a game. That's really good. And as opposed to what we saw last year with J.B. Bickerstaff, and this isn't about bashing JB or anything.
No, none of us are doing
this. This is about a Kenny Atkinson relationship with Caris LeVert. I'm big on Caris. I've always liked his game from long before he showed up here. He's averaging 12 points a game and getting consistent minutes and a consistent role and a consistent opportunity. And Kenny, I think, is the reason for that. And that's really critical because he's developing that bench scorer. Here I come, I'm going to impact the game, coming off the bench mentality. And that's easier to do when you know your consistent role and your consistent place in the offense. And I think Kenny Atkinson has done a great job of establishing that.
He's the microwave. And the main thing they'll tell you is, what is it, 12 guys get you to the playoffs, and then you can shorten it from there. I've never been the biggest fan of how Tom Thibodeau will just run these guys all season long. Like, oh yeah,
38 minutes a game.
It's because they're in shape. It's like, well, Tibbs, every time you get into the playoffs and you find yourself into the second round of the playoffs, these guys all just start going down with all these injuries, and you're just the walking wounded by the tail end of this. By the time, if you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if you get to the Western Conference Finals, you're down to like one guy that you're trusting and a bunch of other guys who hadn't been playing as much.
What's impressing you most, folks, about what's been a terrific Cavalier start, a terrific start for Kenny Atkinson? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Dano on the Fan. This could be a fun one. 9-0 Cavaliers, only undefeated team left in the league. Oklahoma City lost to Denver last night by 2. And the Golden State Warriors, who are 7-1, they've won 5 straight games. First and third highest scoring teams in the NBA. It's really good. I do have one slight Cav. It's not a concern, just a thought that's in my head that, and I'll give you in a second. It's about what might happen if things don't continue to go swimmingly, as the kids say.
Okay.
Terry's on a cell phone.
Because we also may need to hold another stockholders meeting of a different Cavalier later, too.
Hello, Terry.
Hey, Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
All right, Terry.
Hey, you know, I want you now. There are some changes that I do like. The fact what he's doing with Mobley and what he's doing with the bench, I do like that.
Yeah.
But I want to point this out. If you remember last year, a lot of times, like for example, the Pelicans game. In the Pelicans game, when the Pelicans started coming back and they were down by six, and the Cavs got the ball down the court and they got it to Caris LeVert, hit a three. Last year, they missed that shot. That's to me, that's the difference. They had a lot of times last year to put games away. All they do was make shots. It wasn't necessarily if they were open or not. They just had to make shots, and they didn't. And I think that's a big difference in the win streak. But I do like what he's doing with Mobley. I do like what he's – I mean, obviously, in number two, I can't think of his name. Ty Jerome
off the bench, playing really well.
He's showing you what a backup point guard is supposed to look like.
Yeah, Terry, I love the fact that they bring in a pass-first point guard off the bench to operate an offense that's looking different than the offense that two guys who are a little bit more ball-dominant and scoring-dominant run. It's a cool little asset that they have in there.
Well, the thing is that the floor is spread it out now, too. And I got to admit, everybody's game level has went up, except for Donovan Mitchell, whose level was already high.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's game level. I mean, Garland, all of them levels have went up. Niang coming in and playing the little defense that he does play. I mean, he's not going to shut nobody down, but he is playing decent defense. And Isaac Okoro is playing at another level for him as well, for the minutes that he gets.
And Terry, Isaac Okoro is in the perfect Isaac Okoro role, which is come in here, be energy off of the bench, dive after loose balls, play really good defense, and hit a quarter three from time to time. Like, that's the perfect Isaac Okoro role.
Right. Now, if they can get Dean Wade, the last couple games before he got hurt, was hitting a couple threes. If they can get him to be consistent, if he can hit two to three threes a game, they're going to be dangerous. It'd be hard to stop. But what I would like for him to do sometimes is when you drive to the hole, take it to the hole, get fouled, instead of kicking it all the way back out for a three. You're 6'9". Put it in the hole. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
That's a good point. I think it's something we're going to see. The little stuff that Kenny Atkinson has done in this offense that, again, it kind of reminds me of what we were talking about an hour ago where I was like, you know, it was a really good idea. The Bengals bringing in two tight ends to block in the running back position. This feels like the same kind of observation that kind of is like, no kidding. But having Donovan Mitchell set screens for Evan Mobley to kind of run that inverted pick and roll instead of always having the big guy pick, great idea.
Well, it's just a way of getting more motion and more ball movement into the offense, which... Sorry, great idea, but duh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it all leads to more motion and better ball movement, which is the idea.
Listen, you say this stuff out loud, and it's like, no kidding, but it was stuff that wasn't there.
My one thought coming up in a second here. Nelson's in Avon Lake. Hi, Nelson.
All right, Nelson.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very well.
Doing well.
Hey, I know it's early, so we'll take it with a grain of salt. It's early. The Cavs are playing really well. But the three things I would say, they're definitely intentional about getting Evan involved early. I know all last year and since it's been here, we've been talking about that, but I think I'm finally seeing that. Two is the rotations seem to make sense. Last year, and again, this is no criticism on JB, but sometimes the rotations did not make a lot of sense. And then three, man, are we glad we kept Jared Allen on this team. What a player. I mean, to me, he's playing at a different level this year, and he's quickly becoming one of my favorite Cavs. So thanks, guys. Appreciate the time as always.
All right, Nelson, thank you. Jared's averaging a double-double, which is outstanding. I've always liked the guy. I think he's terrific. He's averaged double-doubles before. He did last year, and it's up a little bit. You know, his rebounding's up a little bit, while his shots are down a little bit, which is okay. You know, but his scoring is just about the same as it was, 16.5 last year, 15 points a game this year, and that's swell. Here's my one little, it's not even a concern, it's I want to see what happens when this happens.
Okay.
When the Cavaliers face a little adversity, and they will, it's an 82-game season.
Absolutely.
It's a long season.
Someone's going to get banged up. Something's going to, you know, might even be tonight.
Or you start to get into some games where, you know, the situations get a little tighter and maybe, you know, you just feel a little more heat. I wonder if the offense continues to operate the way it's operated, or if all of a sudden the guys who historically have been ball dominant guards,
it defaults to what it used. It always
exactly
has been.
That's exactly it. Is there first inclination when things get tough to, well, give me the ball and I'll make it happen, rather than let's do what's been working so well and keep it as a team game because we've been really tough to beat when we do it this way. If they can survive that, and all of a sudden Donovan's not pounding the ball or Darius isn't pounding the ball, and they keep it moving and they keep moving bodies, they keep moving the basketball, they share it, they work for the good shot, that I think will be very impressive if they can do that. Because as we know, in life, in just about anything in life, if things go tough, your first inclination is to like kind of revert back to what you're used to. And I wonder what'll happen when they face some adversity. If Kenny Atkinson can make it so that this is what we do, this is how we do it, and we're not changing, wow, that'll be very impressive.
So I have often bashed high screen and roll ball.
I've received text messages from high pick and roll ball, and they're not real happy with you.
Right. And I don't think at the end of these games...
Just right, that's all I get on that?
If there are
just
more...
Just right, I don't get any quiet, Jeff, smart guy?
Jeff.
Nothing?
Jeff, you make fun of me perpetually for the fact that I can't text and talk to you at the same time. You really think I can hold two thoughts in my head at the same time?
I don't think I've ever met anybody who cannot multitask like you. You're really good at not multitasking.
If you're going to not be good at something, be the best at what you're worst at. Print a t-shirt. Woo! Put that on a bumper sticker. So, damn it, now I lost my train of thought.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my day.
God, I hate you sometimes. All right.
You hate high pick and roll ball.
Thank you. So
see, it's not even my thought, and I get you back to it.
I can't, like, I've trashed it quite often because it's always become the default of this offense with Donovan Mitchell at the helm. We saw it under J.B. Bickerstaff more times than we can count. It made you sick. It made me sick. It made the basketball-loving public sick because it's like there has to be more to this than dribble, 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 screen, try to get around screen. Oh, no, now I'm trapped. Now what? We watched the Knicks basically light that on fire in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago and go, oh, you're going to do high screen and roll ball? Great. We're going to trap it. Oh, you're toast. Like, everybody knew it was coming. With 2 to 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, there is a necessity for that. If you look at the Golden State Warriors, which were built on the idea that we don't want to run high screen and roll, well, guess what happened in the playoffs? Draymond, Steph, pick and roll. Like, it was, you would always have that aspect that falls in there because at that point, you want your best player to have the ball in his hands to operate. And so I'm not going to trash it if, let's say, tonight you get into 2 minutes left, or the 5 minutes left in the game, you're down six and you're trying to get back into it. Yeah, you're going to see more of that because you want Donovan Mitchell to have the ball in his hands. The question I have is it going to be 7 straight possessions of high screen and roll? Or is it going to be 4 possessions of high screen and roll, 3 possessions of ball movement and getting guys different shots and maybe working toward a wide open 3 for Dean Wade? You know, that's the question that I have.
Tell me what you think of this. I love this myself. And this goes back to the what happens when you face some adversity type of thing. And how does the team react? How do they play in that situation? Donovan Mitchell right now is averaging 18.3 shots per game. Lowest number since his rookie year in Utah.
Low.
And Darius Garland is taking 14.2 shots per game. Lowest since his rookie year in Cleveland. So you've got the two guys who you want taking shots, clearly, but I don't want dominating the ball, buying in completely to what Kenny is selling and taking the fewest shots that they have taken in their careers since their rookie seasons. I think congratulations, Kenny Atkinson, because you sold that, because that they have to buy that. And congratulations to Donovan and Darius because they're buying in. And here's the other thing. Not only did they buy in, oh, are you seeing the results? you're 9-0 and your team's, you know, flourishing and playing great offense without you shooting so much.
But it's an easy sell when you can walk up to these guys and go, you're going to have less shots, but those less shots are going to be better shots. It's a really easy sell when you can show these guys that, hey, you can either, yeah, you can play a style of ball where you're putting up 25 shots a game and shooting 35%, you know, from three and 40% from the field, 45% mm-hmm. from the field, and you can live that life. Or let me show you a way where you're going to have less shots, but those shots are going to be of a better quality. Like, that's the goal of a great offense in basketball, is how do I make sure I have the best quality shots possible? How am I building this to best utilize what my guys do best? And then that way I can build it so that those guys do what they're best at more.
But isn't it interesting, though, that they've both bought in, obviously? I think that's really impressive, and it's a credit not only to Kenny Atkinson, but it's a credit to the guys. Credit to Donovan. Credit to Darius.
Winning also helps.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. I mean, they're seeing the results of that. But they have to accept it, and they have to buy in. Now, you know what else helps in that? They've both been paid.
That's a good point, too.
You know what I mean? Well, you're not playing for a contract. In fact, nobody... None of the big four guys on this team are playing for a contract. None. That's big, too.
Well, then I'm going to take this quick second to call the Darius Garland stockholders meeting.
Oh, boy.
Folks, if you would like to apologize and rebuy stock, we are open for business. Because apparently we are now seeing a guy who was able to eat regular meals. And actually was able to put weight on and hold weight instead of having all of his meals for a month through a straw and then having to come back and play NBA basketball.
Although if they were milkshakes.
Wrong weight. But I like where your head's at.
Okay.
For you and I, I'm in. But yeah, now you're seeing an offseason where a guy was able to actually put weight back on and put muscle back on so that he could take those hits a little bit better and doesn't get pushed around quite as much and has a little bit of confidence to him as well. I mean, it sounds so dumb, but again, we were in the middle of it saying to people, folks, I'll wire your jaw shut for a month and let's see how you operate. Like, think about that.
Think about this. Warriors in town. Bigger rival than the Steelers? Bigger rival than the Ravens? Bigger rival than the Yankees? My answer next on Baskin and Phelps. The one thing about the NBA, it should be such a team game. And the teams that play well play a team style of basketball. And we'll see that tonight. Steve Kerr is head coach at Golden State. They've been terrific. And with Steve coming in there, what have they won? Four NBA titles under Steve? Three against the Cavs,
yes.
And then 2022 against the Celtics.
Yeah, and then the Celtics. Yep.
And they've won four NBA titles. And how do they do it? Well, they've got one guy who scores a ton of points and is really good. But they share the ball. They move the ball. They take shots that you wouldn't think are, I think they're nuts sometimes. But it works. It works for them.
Right. And they've now had to alter because they've lost one of those guys. And they've decided to move on from Klay mm-hmm. Thompson. And so now they've once again evolved. It's the biggest thing with the Golden State Warriors that's a bit of a misnomer is just the fact that this team continues to evolve to the talent that's around them. I mean, it's what has blown me away most about Steve Kerr. It's like, yes, it's always been Steph Curry, and Steph Curry is the engine that drives this thing. But everything around him, and it's always been Draymond Green, and Draymond Green has been, again, another engine that drives this thing. But boy, oh boy, man, they continue to just think differently and find different ways for these guys to become a part of it and build this offense once again to benefit the guys that are there. I tip my hat to Steve Kerr, and I know people around here can't stand the Warriors, but like, man, I can't help but watch what they do and go, man, you guys know what you're doing.
Steve is one of my favorite guys in sports, and I've known Steve since he played here, and you just kind of thought, well, here's a young guy who may or may not have any kind of an NBA career, you know, because he wasn't playing very much. He barely played when he was in Phoenix. Cavs mm-hmm. brought him in, and he went through a stretch here, and it was when the Cavs obviously were playing at the Coliseum, and he didn't play a whole lot, but Mark Price went down. It was like five games, six games, something like that. And Steve stepped in and played big minutes in that stretch and averaged like 12, 13 points a game. And I thought then, you know what? This guy's got more game than everybody thinks that he might have. And in the right spot, that might really work. And he found the right spots.
Yes, he did.
He went from here to Orlando, and then he ends up in Chicago. Well, I'm playing next to Michael Jordan.
Fit the triangle beautifully.
Stand here, be the open guy, be the open shooter in this. Thank you. That worked. And then it worked for him in San Antonio as well.
Absolutely.
And then he ended up terrific broadcasting career. He was a great broadcaster.
He did a great job on those TNT games.
He was really good.
Did a great job on him.
Then he ends up as a GM in Phoenix.
And he was less good at that.
Well, it was a bad situation there. Ownership wasn't good. And then he went back to broadcasting.
Made a trade. I'm still grumpy about it. It's the only thing I'll ever hold against the guy.
And I think it was really interesting when he got that job in Golden State, because you just kind of thought, really? No coaching experience. You're going to. But he was with Phil and he was with Pop, and, you know, he learned a lot of things, played on some great teams, and he turns out to be a great NBA head coach.
When he did a sit down, he sat down with Bill Simmons, I think, right when he got hired. I think it was right around then. And he basically like told Bill on this podcast, he was like, I had been sitting there as a broadcaster thinking about coaching for a long period of time. And what I would do as I was either scouting these games or calling these games is I would see plays that I liked. And I would see different stuff that coaches were doing. And I would tell the guys at TNT, hey, cut that for me. Hey, get a hold of that for me. Hey, can you get this piece of film? Can you get this? And he goes, I basically just built this playbook because I was watching the league and going, oh, I like that. Oh, I really like this. Oh, this is a great idea. Okay, let me steal this. Maybe we could do it this way. You know, and hearing that, you're like, this makes sense. It's part of the reason why I could see what the Lakers see in J.J. Redick, because he seems like another one of those guys who's like, oh, I'm calling these games and I'm watching basketball. Oh, I like that. Okay, I'm going to take that. Let me take this. Let me get this bit of this, and I could build something off of it. It kind of made sense how Steve was talking about it. I was like, you know what? Now I see why I would hire you as a coach.
I threw this out before break. Golden State Warriors Cavs meeting the NBA Finals 4 straight years. I personally think the Cavs would have won the first one. I've mentioned this way too many times. Had even Kyrie been healthy for the whole series, let alone Kyrie and Kevin. But
they were so wounded.
Yeah, and they almost pulled it off. They were scrappy as all get out and took it to 4-2. And so they, 4-1.
They played a style.
No, it was 4-2.
They played a style of basketball that made the 90s Knicks smile.
Right, and if Kyrie had been there, I think they would have won it. And if Kyrie and Kevin were there, I don't think there's any question. The Cavs won the title coming back in 2016, and I don't think they were better teams than Golden State in 2017 and 18. Warriors won those. Are they as big of a rival for a Cleveland team as, and I threw out the names, Steelers, Ravens, Yankees? And my answer is no. They're not as big as the Steelers. I mean, you have the geography and you have the incredible history. They're not as big as the Ravens because the Ravens used to be the Browns. Yankees, maybe. And I say that only because now in different divisions and you didn't meet with everything on the line.
And you keep seeming with this iteration of the Guardians running into that Yankee team as like just a roadblock. And that's what you end up where you end up hating a team so much is when they just become that perpetual roadblock in the playoffs that seems to knock you out. I would say it's fizzled a little bit, and especially once LeBron left, I think the hatred of the Golden State Warriors has fizzled. But I think it's one of those where if you got into a crucial situation where you needed the Golden State Warriors either to do something or going against the Golden State Warriors, I think that
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That level of hate would come back easily.
Do you really?
That rivalry would come back
really
easily.
That level of hate.
I think it would, man. I
mean, all Draymond has to do is kick someone, you're saying?
I mean, it came down to, like, it came down to if you wore Steph Curry's shoes, people were losing it on you. Like, if you wore a guy's shoes that looked cool, they were like, nope, can't do it, won't have it. You know, you're a disgrace to Cleveland, you're a disgrace, you're a traitor, all of that kind of stuff. Like, it would have to take some kind of a finals appearance or something like that to bring that back, because it was such a bubbling hate. I had a buddy who wore Steph's and never heard the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely. I mean, he was just like, I'm sorry, they looked cool and they were comfortable. You can't wear those!
Cleveland is from Cleveland, and he wants to talk about a Cleveland team. Hello, Cleveland.
All right, man.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great, thank
Real
you.
Well.
Yep. I just wanted to say something. Nobody's saying too much about it, but, man, Dean Wade on that defense, I hope he gets back soon because, man, he steals balls. He doesn't leave his feet. He defends well. You can't get in front of him. And then all three of them seven-footers running up and down the floor. I tell you, man, that's kind of rough with those two little guards running too. You got a big problem, and I'll let you guys answer that.
Yeah. Cleveland, thank you very much. Unfortunately, none of the seven-footers are actually 7 foot.
So Zach Lowe always used to make a joke that Dean Wade's skill is the fact that he looks like your accountant, so you immediately, like, disregard him because he looks like your accountant. And so it...
Dean's like 6'9".
Yeah.
Jared Allen's actually 6'9".
Well, but
and Evan Mobley's like 6'11".
You add in the afro and you get pretty close.
You got about 7'6".
I mean, that thing's got some
heft
to it.
Got some juice.
Yeah. So that helps because you can't really see through it. Like, it helps. It's an asset.
Well, if anybody's listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I think Dean Wade is a good player and a good defensive player. And he's better with his feet than a lot of people think a guy that size should be. If he can keep up with the small forward du jour, whoever they're playing that night, that's a huge help because it gives the Cavs a nice size advantage. And his game, Dan, as you mentioned earlier, being able to knock down that three is something that's a real, real nice element to go along with the two big guys inside who mainly play inside. And oddly enough, Kenny Atkinson has figured out a way to make that work.
Funny how you could play high-low in the modern NBA.
Go figure.
If only we had a former coach tell us that on the air once.
And with the two guards who like the ball and have done a great job of moving the ball. But Dean Wade's a real nice fit alongside those guys.
He's been the perfect asset. I want to see what it looks like when they take on Boston, or I want to see what it looks like if he's out there having to guard a healthy Kawhi, you know, when the planets
fill,
align.
Fill in the blank, small forward.
When the planets align correctly and Kawhi Leonard plays basketball, like, I want to see what it looks like when he has to take on those kind of guys. That's where it's going to show up, is when you start getting those 6'7", 6'8" guys mm-hmm. who are just wrecking the league and are a bear. Can Dean Wade stay by those guys? Can he hang with a Jaylen Brown? Can he hang with any of those just small forward, possibly power forward type guys that are just so hard? A little bit of news. The New York Yankees today announced that they have exercised their 2025 club option for Aaron Boone. Exciting Yankee fans all over.
Booney. Another really nice guy who, unfortunately, is the manager of the Yankees and being the manager of the Yankees makes you grumpy and puts you in the bad light of New York media.
Makes you
and New York Yankee fans.
Makes you age like a president.
It kind of does.
It does. That poor guy, when he when he got in there, he was so cheerful and youthful, and now he just he's just aged like 10 years and five.
He was so much fun when he was here, when he played here. Andy and I were we were doing Indians programming at the time. Boney was so fun when he was here. He was a really good dude. And now every time I see him, you know, he's the manager of the Yankees. It seems grumpy. You know, that guy seems grumpy. And it's like, that's not the nice guy that I knew.
We got to think, if a whole city is blaming you for a problem, and a really big city
Think about that. A whole city with a nasty media base is blaming you.
And we're not talking like, you know, we're not talking like Hudson is blaming you. We're talking New York City, which is essentially a country. Is blaming you for the inability of players and the fact that you brought in the wrong reliever at the wrong time. This guy sucks.
You'd be grumpy too.
You'd be pretty grumpy on top of it. Like when your expectations every single season are you either win a title or you're a blatant failure and you could just go away and we never see you again. Like you'd be a little grumpy.
Could have did to poor Stump Merrill.
You'd be a little grumpy.
Tim May covers the Ohio State Buckeyes in every way, shape, and form for Letterman Row. He also has the Tim May podcast, and he's also with us every Friday at 1 o'clock. This is Friday. It's almost 1 o'clock. That means Tim May's coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.